Shavu Atov Rabotai. We are studying Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom. Tonight we are learning chapter Mem Aleph, chapter 41, which is actually the last chapter of the first book of Tehillim. The significance of this chapter over here, David HaMelech wrote it. This is actually a series of chapters where David HaMelech expresses his gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after God had healed him from his sickness. David HaMelech was specifically or especially happy that God cured him, because now he was able to continue his lifelong dream of drawing up the plans for the Beit HaMikdash. The Hachamim tell us that David HaMelech actually was instrumental in the preparation of the blueprints of the Beit HaMikdash, which eventually he gave to his son, Shlomo HaMelech, and they followed that blueprint. When he was sick, obviously he wasn't able to fulfill that dream of his, so therefore, as I said, he was happy that he was able to complete it. And that's why he says this chapter over here, thanking Borei Olam for the health that allowed him to complete it. Lam Naseyach Mizmor Le David. Ashre Maskil Eldal Biyom Ra'ayim Maletehu Adonai. Now this pasuk alone, there has been many dirashot that have been said. Simply for our chapter, the pshat, a dal over here is referring to a sick person. A sick person is called a dal. And our rabbis are telling us that the pasuk means David is thanking God. Ashrei maskil el dal. Fortunate for the one that cares wisely for the sick. Somebody that fulfills the mitzvah bikur holim. David HaMelech was thankful not only for God that was healing him, but for those visitors that came at the time that he was sick and gave him chizuk. So Ashrei, fortunate is the person, maskil el dal. He cares for the, cares wisely. Maskil comes from the Hebrew word sechel. Fortunate is the one who cares wisely for the sick. Biyom ra'a, and on the day of bad, of disaster, yimaletehu Hashem. Hashem is going to save him. So again, if you're learning that it's talking about David HaMelech that was sick, so David HaMelech is blessing and saying that on the day of bad, that's the day of Gehinnam, that's Biyom Ra'a, so God will comfort that person as well and save him from Gehinnam. Midah keneged midah. You save the person by visiting him from his demise, from his sickness, so measure for measure, God will save that person himself from the sickness as well. But many of our rabbis, they learned this pasuk literally, not in mitzvah visiting the sick, but they learned it in Yen of the Tzedakah. Hashem maskil el dal. But if you allow me to say one word on the Bikur Holim first. It doesn't say fortunate is the person that visits the sick people. It says fortunate is the person that is maskil el dal, that tends to the needs of the sick with sechel, with understanding. Which means, when a person goes and visits a sick person, it's not only a perfunctory act, where you walk in and you sit and you say a couple of words and you walk out. It has to be done with sechel. Where's the sechel in the Zav Bikur Holim? Number one, the mitzvah is to tend to the needs of the sick person. Even though none of us are doctors, or maybe nurses, but if you see the patient, for example, his room is sloppy. The room is unkempt. There's clutter. The Gemara says that one rabbi visited another and saw the room was all not clean, and he tidied it up. And the rabbi who was sick said, "You gave me life." Why? Because you cleaned the room. When a patient is in a room that's dirty, so it doesn't give him yeshuva da'at. And therefore, maskil el dal. You go visit with sechel. You go and you clean up. Or sometimes the patient is uncomfortable. So you prop his pillow up, you fix his bed in order to give him comfortability. Or sometimes the patient needs something, and therefore you tend to his needs. That's already a visit with sechel. But maskil ildal also means to know not only when to visit, but more importantly sometimes, when to leave. A lot of times a patient is tired, he's weak, and the visitor becomes a burden on the patient. The visitor sits and is talking, and the patient has to exert energy. Even though the Gemara says it's good sometimes for the patient to talk, but too much, the patient becomes weak. And now instead of the visit becoming productive, it becomes counterproductive. Ashrim maskil eldal. Fortunate is the person that visits the sick person with sechel. He knows exactly when to come, and he also knows when to leave. This is the inyan of the sechel. Furthermore, we said one time that the mitzvah bikur cholim is written or is said in the plurality. It doesn't say bikur choleh. It says bikur cholim. Why? Usually you visit one sick person at a time. So it should say bikur choleh. What do you mean bikur cholim in the plurality? So he said that many times when you visit a sick person, he might be the one that's physically sick, but there are a lot of people in the family that are emotionally sick, and psychologically they're going through hardship. If a person has a child that's in the hospital, so that means his wife has to be in the hospital all day as well. Who's making food for the rest of the children? Who's taking care of the house? Who's tending to the needs of the family? And therefore, whenever there's one sick person in the family, usually it causes many people to become sick. Not physically sick, but mentally, emotionally, psychologically. And therefore, the rabbis are reminding us, you're never only visiting one person. It's bikur cholim. You always have to remember that there's more people besides the one that's in the bed, besides the obvious one. There's other people that are also being affected adversely because of this sickness. And therefore, Ashrim maskil eldal. That when the person visits the sick person, does what sechel, he asks the family, what can I do for you? What do you need? Maybe you need also a break of some sort. Maybe you also need to send somebody to the house to help you with the children and so on and so forth. And then that's sechel. Somebody that has brains, he sees a wider picture. He doesn't only see a narrow situation. That's a person who's narrow-minded. He sees the sick person. He doesn't think anybody else is in trouble. Maskil ildal. He sees the larger picture, and therefore he tends to their needs as well. But again, as I told you, the Hakamim explained this pasuk in the Anyan of the Tzedakah. And I've said a derasha of my own. I'm sure it's been said before me, but I didn't see it yet in the Sefarim, so I don't want to plagiarize. But we'll say the derasha tonight as well. And I actually said it when I was giving my comments about certain organizations in our community that dispense money to the aniim. It's very easy to be solicited by a poor family and write them a check and give them, funds for a day or two or for a week. But many times, when a family's coming for, let's say, help for food, for example, usually food is not the problem. Usually it's a symptom of a greater problem. But again, if a person wants to do charity the easy way, here you go, here's a check, here's food, and see you later. Ashrim maskil ildal. Fortunate a person that gives tzedakah with sechel. That what? He sees one problem, he doesn't tend to that one problem alone. If a person doesn't have food in his house, what do you think is taking place with the shalom bayit of that family? You think a husband and a wife can get along with such pressure where you don't know where the next the meal is going to come from? And what's going on with the children? You think the children are able to function in school and be successful in their education? Which means it's never one problem. It's always a symptom, and there's a bigger problem. Now, to tackle the bigger problem, oh, that's already a headache. It's much easier. Here's money, and see you later. Go buy food and close your eyes. But if you want to do the job the right way, you have to go in and you have to restructure and you have to rebuild from the ground up and you have to give a new hadracha and a new guidance. And, you know, sometimes the short way is the long way and the long way is the short way. Which means you do a patch up and it just reoccurs over and over again because you did it the short way. But you do it the long way, you do it the right way, you fix it. And it goes away forever. The long way is the short way sometimes. Ashtim maskil ildam. Fortunate a person that when he gives the tzedakah, it's with sechel. He does it with wisdom. He does a proper assessment. But there might be yet another interpretation of Mashter. Did I say beracha? No. I made a beracha before. In any event, the subject over here is like this. Ashrem maskil ildan. Biyum ra'a yimalitehu Hashem. So I saw an interpretation as follows. Many times when a person is solicited to tzedakah, so what does a person say? Well, I'm having a bad quarter, I'm having a bad year, now's not the time, Rabbi. You know, maybe B'zat Hashem next year I'll make a lot of money. So Hachamim come along and say that the real challenge of giving the tzedakah is not only when it's easy to give tzedakah, but to give the tzedakah when it hurts. To give the tzedakot even though it's pressure. And that's why the Mefarshim, they come along and they read the pasuk like this. Ashrei maskil eldal biyom ra'a. Put the comma after biyom ra'a. Fortunate is a person that gives money to the dal, biyom ra'a, not on the yom ra'a of the dal, biyom ra'a of the giver, which means when you're having bad times. Ashrei maskil eldal biyom ra'a. When you're suffering hard economic times and you still give, then yimaleteu Hashem. Then Hashem's going to save you. Because Hashem sees you're giving tzedakah under all circumstances. But I'd like to say yet another dirasha on this. Hashem maskil ildal biyom ra'a yimaleteu Hashem. There is an age-old question. Is it better to give the tzedakah directly? Or is it better to give it through a shaliach? Well, it depends. We see Avraham Avinu, for example, when he had the guests in his house. The services that he did directly, for example, he gave them food directly. So God also rewarded Am Yisrael later on in history by giving them man directly from Shamayim. However, the things that Abraham did through a shaliach, for example, the water, it says yukachna me'at mayim. He gave the water, you know, through a shaliach. So God gave the Jewish people water through a shaliach. You had the be'er. It wasn't considered direct. It was through a secondary. So you see over here what? When you do the mitzvah yourself, so God rewards you directly. But there's something else to say. Sometimes when you do the mitzvah directly, you embarrass the ani. You go directly to the guy, give him the money. So maybe in some cases it's better to do it ayyadeh shaliach. But then the person feels bad. If I'm doing it ayyadeh shaliach, so then I'm going to lose out. God's not going to give me the direct reward. So the pasuk says like this, Ashrei maskil eldal. Fortunate is the person, it doesn't say that he gives money to the dal. Maskil, he does it with sechel. He doesn't want to embarrass the poor man. So he gives it ayyadeh shaliach. Ah, but he's scared that maybe God's going to hold it against me. I didn't give it directly. Don't worry. Biyom ra'a yimaleteu Hashem. Hashem is going to save you directly because he sees you had no choice. When you give it al yedesh shaliach because you don't want to embarrass,
So don't think God's not going to save you directly.
Why? Because God knows that you did it for the proper reasons, not to embarrass the poor person. But again, there might be yet another interpretation to this pasuk. A lot of times, when a person is asked to give tzedakah, what does he say? What did the rich person give? He waits. He wants to know, what did so-and-so give? And really, this is it's not really a legal or a legitimate claim, I should say. Because what's the difference what the rich person gave? Which means, let's say if a person was starving, does the person say, what did the rich person eat? What do you care what he ate? You're starving, you're going to eat regardless of what he ate or he didn't eat. Which is, if a person now needs food or needs tzedakah, so what is the difference what the rich person gave or didn't give? On the contrary, you know, you're supposed to look at it. What did the poor person give? When they come and show that even such and such a person that doesn't have any money, he also gave to the project, then you're supposed to make a kavah homer. And you're supposed to say, if this person gave, and he doesn't have money, and he gave a little money towards the project, so me, that I have more than a poor person, kavah homer I have to give. You never ask, did the rich man give? You look if the poor person gave, if the people that are not as rich as you gave. Ashrei maskil eldal. Fortunate is the person when he's giving the tzedakah, he uses sechel, what? He looks il dal. What did the poor guy give? He doesn't look at what the rich guy gives. He looks at what the poor guy gives, and therefore it'll always be an inspiration for him to give more, because, like I said, he makes the kavah homer in himself. Last but not least, even though, like I said, there's many that are short on this, the Sefarim tell us that you're supposed to give Maaser 10%. If a person is very wealthy, he can even give 20%. But the holy books bring down, I saw here from the Sefer Devrei Hayim, he writes that what it says in the Gemara Ketubot, HaMebezbez al yibezbez yoter mechomesh, that a person shouldn't give more than 20%, that's what I'm talking about, a healthy person that doesn't commit averot. But if a person committed averot in his life, then already needed tikkun. Then already you have to give all your money to the tzedakah. Then already there's no limit. You have to pay. And they give him a mashal, like a sick person. A sick person, how much money is he going to pay for medicine? He'll pay it to his last penny. Why? Let's say he has a budget. He says, you know what? I allocated 20% of my salary a year for medicines. But the doctor tells him, listen, the medicine is going to cost you 80% of your salary this year. What's he going to tell the doctor? I'm not paying it. It's not allocated. A person will give everything. He'll give his last stamp in order to get medicine to save his life. So when it comes to the inyan of tzedakah, utzedakah tetzil mimavet. Tzedakah is like a remedy. If a person has averot, the tzedakah saves him. And therefore he has to pay as much. So that pasuk says, Ashrei maskil eldal. Fortunate is the person that gives the money to the tzedakah. Biyom ra'a yimalitehu Hashem. And on the day of ra'a, meaning in Gehinam, God will save that person because he gave all the tzedakah. And then it says, Hashem yishmiru v'chayehu yushar ba'ariz v'at t'rimeru v'shev. Hashem yis'adenu al erez devai. Kol mishkabo hafakhta b'cholyo. The rest of the chapter talks about sick people. So the Mefashim say, what's the connection between giving tzedakah and the sick people? The connection is just like a sick person gives all his money for his refuah, so too a person has averot, he can give even more than 20% for his the connection between the dal and the chodeh. Okay, this is suffices. We said about seven, I think, that are short for the first pasuk. As you know, they could, there's much more to say, but we'll continue. Just to continue the derashot. Hashem yishmereu vihayehu. So the Navi is telling us like this, that the person that visits the sick person, God says, your reward is going to come. Hashem yishmereu vihayehu. God is going to preserve him and keep him alive. That's the visitor. Yushar ba'aris. He's going to be made praiseworthy on earth. Ve'al titeneu benefesh oyebav.
and he's not going to be presented to his foes. Now, the explanation over here they say is, what does it mean, Yehushar Ba'aretz, he'll be fortunate on earth? The Mishnah says that there are certain mitzvot that a person does in this world that Ochel Mepirotehim Ba'olam Hazeh V'Ken Kayem Eto Le'olam Haba. Certain mitzvot, you reap the rewards in this world. And one of those mitzvot is the mitzvah of Bikur Holim. And therefore, David HaMelech says, those people that visit the sick, number one, Hashem Yishmeru V'Chayehu, God's going to protect them. Midah Keneged Midah. You brought life and protection to the sick man, you're going to have to. But where is that protection going to come? Yushar Ba'aris. In this world. Ochem Perotehim Ba'olam Hazeh. And then the Pasuk says, Hashem Yisa'adenu Al Eres Devai Kol Mishkabu Hafakta Becholyo. What does it mean? Hashem will fortify him. What is this referring to? The Gemara says in Shabbat and in the Darim as well, that the tradition is that God is by the head of the sick person. The Shekhinah is by the sick person. That's why it says when Yosef went to visit his father, it says, Hine Avicha Chole. So it says Yosef bowed. And what's the inyan of the bowing? He's bowing in front of the Shekhinah that's resting on the head of the Chole. And that's what the Pasuk says, Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Devai. God will help the sick person because he's Al Eres Devai, he's on the bed of the sick one. That's what the Halakha says, when one comes to visit, you're not supposed to stand by the head because the Shekhinah is there. You're supposed to stand a little back. And then it says, Kol Mishkabo Hafachta Becholyo. What does this mean? Kol Mishkavo, all his restfulness has been upset by illness. Kol Mishkavo, his restfulness, hafachta becholyo, you turned it over. When a person's sick, he can't sleep. Sometimes he can't even turn over. One rabbi said, we can never appreciate what does it mean to a person to be sick. How many times at night do we roll over and we turn over back and forth and get comfortable? The sick person is confined. He can't roll over. And therefore, it's uncomfortable sleep because you can't get into the right position. You have to lie flat and close your eyes. Very difficult. So it's called mishkavo. All the pleasure of sleeping in a bed, mishkavo beholyo. He loses it in sickness. But I saw another interpretation from the Malbim. So he says, kol mishkavo hafachta. Unfortunately, a person that's sick, especially when he has problems with his stomach and things like this, so they're constantly changing the bedding of his bed because he cannot go to the bathroom anymore. So it's called mishkavo hafachta becholyo. They constantly have to turn the bedding over. They constantly have to change the bedding of the sick person when he is sick. After David HaMelech praises the visitor, and he says he's going to be rewarded, and he gives us a little understanding. What does it mean, the sick person? David goes in Pasuk 5, Pasuk here. Ani amarti Hashem choneni, refa'a nafshi ki hatati lach. As for me, he prayed to God, David, and says, Hashem, show me favor. Give me rahamim. Refa'a nafshi, heal my soul, because I have sinned against you. David HaMelech is telling us a very important insight over here. Refa'a nafshi ki hatati lach. David understands that every physical malady is actually because there's something spiritually wrong. And therefore, it's not enough to diagnose the sickness and take a medicine, but as we pray in the Birkat HaMazon, Arahamanu yirpa'enu refu'a shirema. And what is a refu'a shirema? Rifuata nefesh or rifuata guf. Every sickness has something wrong in the soul, and therefore you need to go to a spiritual doctor. What is the sickness that Ariza, Allah Hashem, used to be able to give the reasons? The reason why you're getting this sickness because of that avon and this problem. And therefore, David HaMelech says, Refa'a nafshi ki hatati lach. My sickness is a result of sins.
I saw one derasha. What does it mean? Refa'a nafshiki hatati lach. David HaMelech says, heal me because I sinned. Refa'a nafshi ki hatati lach. What do you mean? Is his sins a reason for God to make him better? On the contrary, his sins are a reason for not to get better. Heal me because I sinned? Adrabai, she said, heal me because I didn't sin. I said, refa'a nafshiki hatati lach. So I say one time there was a rabbi that he was making the Misha Berach for the sick people. And he's saying all the names as customary. So one of the members of the synagogue says, Rabbi, I have a name. I said, okay, what's the name? He said, John. John? What's his mother's name? John Ben Mary. John Ben Mary? Tells the guy, what are you talking about? This guy sounds like he's a goy. He says, he is a goy. He's not Jewish. So he said, what are you praying for him? He's very, very sick. There's a chance he might die. He says, I understand. This is what are you praying for? He says, Hakam, he owes me money. if he dies, I don't get paid. I need to get paid over here. I have an interest. I said, oh, okay, you have an interest. I'm going to pray for him. So the same thing over here, David HaMelech Alav HaShalom says, God, I have a lot of sins. I have an outstanding bill. And therefore, it's in your interest if you give me life. If you give me life, I could pay you. I can make teshuvah. I could make payment on all the sins that I have. But if you don't heal me, then I die with a balance. And therefore, refa'a nafshiki hatati lach. Heal me because I sinned. And therefore, give me a chance to pay back. Give me a chance to make reparations. Give me a chance to make good. And all the outstanding debt that I incurred over the generations, over the years. It's in your interest that I get a refuah. Now David HaMelech tells us about his enemy's attitude. You can imagine David HaMelech's enemies relished in the fact that David HaMelech was bedridden and sick. Pasuk Vav, Oyeva Yomeru Ra'li, Matay Yamut. Which means, my enemies, they speak evil of me. Which means, they wished my demise. The Mefarshim say over here that they were saying, Matay yamut ve'avad shemo. When will he die and his name perish? When they heard me crying from the bed, Ani amarti Hashem choneni. They heard me praying, please God, give me mercy. They were rejoicing in that. They were anxiously waiting for the day that I will perish. Ve'im bal lirot. And if they came to see, which means if my enemies came to visit me, shav yedaber. They spoke insincerely. They spoke, oh, refuah shelema, feel better. But I know they didn't mean it. It was all lip service. Libo yikbots avinlo. His heart desires to gather himself malicious information. He speaks sympathetically to David. Oh, I feel bad. You look like you're in pain. But libo in his heart, yikbots avin. He has malicious intent. Yitze lahutz yedaber. Which means he can't talk in front of me. But he runs outside my enemy and he tells my enemies as well. Oh, he's bad. He's bad. He's suffering. They have to speak outside because they don't want to say it in front of me. Which means sometimes my enemies, he sent agents. They sent their agents to see how sick I was, to report back to them. So the agent would come in. Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel bad for you. To flash your demand, all that stuff. And then they would go out. Yitze lahutz yedaber. They would go report back to all David's enemies and say, yeah, don't worry. He's not recovering from this one. He's out. He's very bad. And David HaMelech knew it. Yahad alai yitlahashu kol sonai. United against me, my enemies would whisper. He says they would come in front of me and they would think I didn't understand what they were doing. They would come and show compassion at my bed and they would step away and whisper to each other. And what were they whispering? Whispering words of happiness amongst themselves of my downfall. And the Pasuk writes, Kol sonei alai yachshevu ra'ali. Right? All my enemies, they planned against me to do bad to me, to do harm to me. Devar b'li'al yasuk po. And what did they claim? They claimed that the reason why I'm sick is because of my sins. They said if David HaMelech was such a tzaddik like he makes himself out to be, this wouldn't happen to him. So they say, Devar Bili'al. Bili'al is Bili'ol. This is a man that has no yoke. He has sins, and that's why God has poured over him this sickness. Vashir Shachav Lo Yosif Lakum. And then he says that may the poison serum accomplish its lethal work without the interference of any antidote. That means the Malbim learns they tried to poison David HaMelech. They tried to even in his medicines put all sorts of serums in order to, and they prayed, let the serum work, which means we hope he'll take the poison and he won't be healed. Gam ishelomi asher batachti po. Now David HaMelech says the unfortunate nature of humanity. At least your enemies, you know who they are. But it's even worse when your own friends, they turn against you. David HaMelech says, Gam ish shelomi, the man, my allies, those that I was at peace with, asher batachti bo, that I trusted them, and they abandoned me. And who were these people? Ochle lahmi. These were people that ate at my table. I fed them bread. I attended to their needs. And what? Higdil alai akev. They developed an ambush against me. Which means they came against me. They were happy when I was down. Which means I realized who my friends were. My friends were only my friends when I was healthy and giving them money and supporting them. And then what happened? When they saw my demise, they joined my enemies as well. Ishilomi. The Radak explains on the Pasuk, Higdil alai akev. Akev is a heel, which means they trampled over me. They stepped on me. They wanted to crush me. And then David HaMelech now, he talked about the visitors. He talked about his enemies and those that turned against him. Now he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, they claim that I'll never rise up from this sickness. But I'm asking you, for the inyan of the Kiddush Hashem, Honeni v'hakimeni. I want to refute those claims. I want you to elevate me. That what? That I'll be able to stand. And the Mefarshim say over here, what do you mean I want to stand? Just say I want to be better. David HaMelech wanted to stand. What's the inyan of standing? So the Mefarshim say that there was a special scroll. It was called Megillat Bet HaMikdash. Megillat Bet HaMikdash. This scroll was a scroll that was given from God to Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu received it, he was told by God, you have to hand it over to the next generation in order that it gets down to the time of the building. What was in this Megillat Bet HaMikdash? All the secrets, Kabbalah, Kavanot, all the construction of the temple. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over to Yeshua ben Nun, but he told Yeshua before he gave it to him, you have to stand. Because the scrolls are so holy, you have to receive it standing. So Yeshua received it standing. What happened? Yeshua ben Nun then gave it over. Yeshua gave it over to the Zekinim, and they had to stand as well. And the Zekinim gave it over to the Nevi'im, and they had to stand as well. And the Nevi'im gave it over to David HaMelech alav shalom. Now David HaMelech was holding these scrolls, and he knew that he wasn't able to build the Beit HaMikdash. Who was going to build it? Shlomo HaMelech. But he knew that he cannot give it over to him, because he has to be standing as well when he gives it over. Because the kavod of the scrolls, you have to give it over, standing, the one that's giving it over and the one that's receiving it. So David HaMelech prays, V'atashim choneni v'hakimeni.
which means give me the ability to raise me, so I'm able to give over the scrolls in the proper way. And not only that, but it seems the scroll themselves wasn't just a paper. You needed to give an explanation. You needed to give instructions. So he says, I need refuah so I can give over the instructions in its entirety. But then the next two words are the most difficult of the whole chapter. Give me refuah shelema, that I could stand, I can give over the scrolls. Va'ashalema lahim. So I shall repay them. What does David HaMelech mean over here? Is David HaMelech saying so he could take revenge? All those enemies that wish my downfall, all those enemies that wish my death, give me a refuah, va'ashalema lahim, and I'm going to get even. Is that the nature of David HaMelech? I'm going to get even? So there's different explanations. One explanation is, yes, a king has to get even. Melech shemahal al kevodo, en kevodo mahul. A king is not allowed to belittle his kingdom. Som tasim alecha melech, shetehe emato alecha. The king has an obligation to establish his kingdom. Do you remember when Shemuel HaNavi rebuked Shaul HaMelech, when Shaul says, Ki yareti min ha'am. Shaul says, well, you know, I was scared of the people. I buckled to the pressure of the people. And Shemuel HaNavi tells Shaul HaMelech, Rosh Shiftei Yisrael ata. You're the leader. You're the king. Adaba, you're supposed to instill fear in them. You're not supposed to be afraid of the people. So David HaMelech says, God, when I get better, I am going to revenge them. But not a personal revenge. To establish the kingdom, to establish the malchut, because you want the malchut to have a certain stature. That's what it means he's going to take revenge. Another interpretation is, David HaMelech also was a hacham. And therefore, as a hacham, he has no right to be mohel on the kavod of the Torah. On his personal kavod, he can be mohel, but this kavod of the Torah. And then David HaMelech said, I have to, for the sake of the Torah, not for my personal sake, for the sake of the Torah, to go after them. But my favorite interpretation of this pasuk is, Vashalemam, I'm going to revenge them. Is based on a lesson that Shlomo HaMelech taught us in Mishle. Shlomo said once, Im ra'ev sona'acha, ha'achileu lechem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. And you wonder, what kind of advice is that? If you ask me, as if your enemy's hungry, starve him. Well, that's the last thing you want to do. Don't give him any bread. Let him die. Let him starve to death. But Shlomo HaMelech obviously was much smarter. Shlomo HaMelech was teaching us a lesson that sometimes the best way to get back at an enemy is to kill him with kindness. When a person shows his enemy that he's better than them, that he's higher than them, he takes a higher moral road, and he does them chesed, that stings the person, because he expects you to react like he reacted to you, and all of a sudden you're showing him kindness. So what you're doing is you're neutralizing him, you're diffusing him. He wants it to become aggravated. He wants you to do something. He can do something back to you. And the more he does, the more you're giving him chesed. So he says, if your enemy is hungry and you really want to get him, give him a piece of bread. Oh, go crazy. Well, what are you doing to me over here? No. I'll explain the psychology, one of the psychologies of it. Part of the hana'ah, part of the pleasure of aggravating your friend is seeing that he got aggravated. That's the pleasure. You're seeing that the guy got unraveled. So you won't go, oh, I got him. He was all flustered. But when you're trying to, you know, unhinge your friend, and instead of getting unhinged, he does you a favor, so you get frustrated. It didn't work. You didn't hear what I said. So it backfires. You become unhinged. You become aggravated because you see you're not successful. And therefore, David HaMelech says, "Borei Olam, v'ashalema lehem. I'm going to pay them back. You know, I'm going to pay them back. I'm going to do them chesed, I'm going to be kind to them, I'm going to do everything. And that already will be the biggest revenge that I could take. That's a mutar revenge. Because you're teaching your enemies that you shouldn't revenge. Adrabah, they'll get the musar. V'ashalim aleim letov. David HaMelech then says, Bezot yadati ki hafasta bi. When you lift me from my sickness and my sick bed, then I will know, and I'll know that my enemies cannot triumph over me. Then I'll know you truly want me, you're truly pleased with me. Ki lo yariya oyevai alai. You will not let my enemies applaud. If David dies, then his enemies are going to applaud. Ve'ani bitumi tamachtabi. Listen what David HaMelech says over here. Ani bitumi tamachtabi. Because of my timimut. Timimut might mean simplicity. You have supported me. What is David HaMelech referring to over here? David HaMelech says like this. There's two different types of people that have different types of faith. One person has a faith that has to make sense to him. It's based on logic. It's based on his own understanding. If a person has a faith that's based on human intellect, that's not a faith. He doesn't need God. Because he's really just trusting himself. I explain. If a person only has a religion or belief system that he can rationalize, we can explain, so really he's serving his own intellect. He's not serving a higher God. It makes sense. He follows it. So therefore, who's his God? His God is his brain. He's serving himself. So God says to that person, you don't trust me, you trust your brains. So let your brains cure you. But those that serve God, bitmimut. I don't understand it. I don't know why God's doing it. I just know they told me, en kedohenu, en kadonenu, en kemalkinu, en kemoshenu, like we said tonight. There's God, finish. But explain it. I don't have to explain it. There's God. There's Hashem in the world. Vani bitumi, elech, David HaMelech says. Vani bitumi. And therefore, tamachtabi. That's why you're going to support me. Because I don't believe in myself. I believe in you. If I believe in you, then you can come to my aid. But the one that doesn't have timimut, he trusts himself. God says, good, you trust yourself. Get yourself out of this mess. Cure yourself. V'tatzibeni lefanecha le'olam. David HaMelech says, and you let me stand straight, erect, forever. Forever means the normal lifespan of a human being, which in David HaMelech's case was 70 years. David HaMelech then ends the chapter, Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael. David HaMelech says, bless God, the God of Israel. Now you have to understand this. David HaMelech is blessing God specifically at the end of this chapter, because this is the end of the first chapter of Tehillim, the first book of Tehillim. David HaMelech now is praising God that he got the inspiration to the Ruach HaKodesh, the ability to write the first 41 poems. And therefore he says, Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael, I thank you. It's like you're making a beracha, bercha toda'a. Thank you, Baruch Hashem, for giving me the ability to pen these first 41 chapters. Me'a'olam ve'ad'a'olam. Amen ve'amen. David HaMelech says like this, God, you are the God me'a'olam ve'ad'a'olam. You are the God from this world all the way to the next world, to eternity. Why does David HaMelech have to mention God's eternal quality in this chapter? And based on what we said tonight, we can understand it. We explained that the sick person has questions on God. Why did you get me sick? I'm a tzaddik. David HaMelech was a tzaddik. He learned, he wrote Tehillim. He was involved in Torah his whole life. This was the same David HaMelech that said, Shifti b'bet Hashem kol yeh mehayai. All I do is want to sit in the bit midrash my whole life and study Torah. Why should David HaMelech have to be bedridden, where his enemies are making fun of him, where his enemies are applauding his downfall?
David HaMelech could have a lot of questions in his emunah, but David HaMelech reminds himself, I don't have any questions. You know why? Because I only see part of the story. The world is a big movie. It started 5,700 years ago, and it's going to end maybe 6,000 years. And therefore, a human being comes in for a cameo appearance for 70, 80 years and wants to understand the whole picture. David HaMelech consoles himself and says, Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael. You know why I can bless you? Because you are the only entity in the entire universe that is Meha'olam Ve'ada'olam. And that's David's consolation. God has the advantage of eternity. God is the God Meha'olam Ve'ada'olam. You can see the beginning, you can see the present, the end. When you can see the whole picture, everything makes sense. And therefore, David HaMelech says, that's my consolation, why I can bless you. Because you are indeed Meha'olam Ve'ada'olam. And therefore, Baruch Hashem, I have no questions. I have no, my faith remains intact. It's the eternity that God has that consoles David HaMelech. And then he says, of course, Amen ve'amen. Amen ve'amen is declaring what? Amen, the first is Emunah. Amen is from the Sunnah Emunah. Because you, God, are min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam, Amen. Therefore, my Emunah is intact, and the Amen is repeated again. Our rabbis say that anybody that answers Amen in this world will have the zechut to answer Amen in Olam Abba in the world to come. Now, I must conclude, there is a fantastic midrash that I saw brought down over here in the sefer that we use, Menuhat Shalom. I'd like to quote it to you. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. God tells the Jewish people, Ad Shalom Barati Yitchem, Hayu Malachei HaSharet Mekalesin Lefanai Ve'omrim, Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael. God tells the Jewish people, before I created you, the angels used to praise me. What praise do the angels tell God? Baruch Hashem, blessed be God, Elokei Yisrael. But they didn't know who this Yisrael was. This was already before the world was created. So what happened, the Midrash says, Kevan Sheba Adam, Adam was created. Amru Malachim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zehu She'anu Mekalsim B'Shmo, is this the guy? Is this Yisrael? Baruch Hashem, is it blessed God, the God of Israel? Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lav, Ganavu. This man of me is a thief. Ban Noah. Noah came. Amru. Zehu? Is this Yisrael? Amar Lehem, Lav, Shikorhu. This one is a drunkard. Ba Avraham. Amru Lo. Zehu? Amar Lehem, Lav, Gerhu Imadi. He's a ger, he's a convert, he's a stranger. Bayitzhak, Amrullah Zehu, Malem Lav, Hu Oheva Sher Saneti. This one, he loves those that I hate. Kevan Shebay Yaakov, Amrullah Zehu? Is this the Elokei Yisrael? Amarlem Hen. Yes, Vechenu Omer Lo Yikra Od Shemcha Yaakov, Ki Im Yisrael. ונקראו כל ישראל על שמו שנאמר ישראל אשר בך את פער. What the Mefarshim explaining on this Midrash was that the angels came along and they knew Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Who is this Israel? It's Adam. They saw Adam. All the neshamot ben Adam Rishon. So, but Adam is not perfect. Adam is a ganav. He ate from the tree that I told him he cannot eat. Therefore, his name cannot be used to praise me. You can't say Elokei Adam. What about Noah? Noah was a tzaddik, but what? He came off the teba, he drank. He got drunk. Yeah, he's a shikor. Even though technically all the neshamot came out of Noah, because he started the world again. But he's not the one. Came to Avraham. Avraham was great, but the Midrash says, Ger Imadi, which means at the time of Avraham Abinu, there was still Avodah Zarah in the world. And therefore, you could not say his name as a praise. Yitzhak. Okay, the majority of the world worshipped God. It was monotheism. But Yitzhak loved Esav. Et asher ahav saneti. Or et asher saneti ahav. The one that I hated, he loved. And therefore, he's not the one. Kem Yaakov Abinu. B'chishu b'avot. Mitato shelema. 12 shevatim. All tzadikim. Borei Olam says, Yisrael, Asher Becha et Par. And that's why from the beginning, Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael. That praise of Elohei Yisrael, even before Yaakov was born, the angels were using that as what? God is not Elohei Adam, He's not Elohei Noah, He's not Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzhak. Elohei Yisrael, that's the biggest praise. And the Pasuk says, Min Ha'olam. This praise already of Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael was not starting when Yaakov was born. From even before the world was in existence, the angels used this Yisrael, not even knowing who it is. And that's going to be the praise that's going to last all the way until the Mashiach. Yisrael asher becha et par. Then the Pasuk says, Amen ve'amen, as we said. Amen is the inyan of the Emunah. And the Emunah is that a person has Emunah in this world. That Emunah brings him to the Olam Abba. Like the Pasuk says, Ashrei yosheve betecha. Od yadu chasena. Those that sit in the house of God in this world, they're going to praise God in His house in Olam Abba, which means the actions that a person commits in this world, whether it's answering Amen, whether it's having Emunah, whether it's sitting and learning Torah, all those actions that we have in this world, they're going to last into the next world. Amen, ba'olam hazeh. Amen, ba'olam Abba. Shavua tov, bezat Hashem, bezichut, that we read this chapter of Mim Aleph. David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, Yagen Ba'adenu. We're going to have Seudat Medaveh Malkana, Bezat Hashem. We should have in mind, Kavanah, Lezeket Mishmat David HaMelech, Sukkoto Yagen Ba'adenu. Amen.